little commentary too.
Okay, let's continue. So, sorry, I was going to start talking about the V-row, but I do have a few more comments on the U-row, okay? So, first of all, so you get an invariant with values in universal enveloping algebras, but then if you choose a representation of the Lie algebra, it becomes an invariant in matrices, and then you can take trace in that representation. So and you get invariant, but you also have, it's, somehow there are degrees everywhere. So you map degree d to h to the power d, so you get power series in d, in h. So you get invariants in power series or polynomials or whatever. So you can turn it into stuff which is more concrete. And in fact, the whole theory of quantum groups bypasses this mess, but you introduce a new mess, which is the quantized universal. So the thing in the middle, the thing here, so this is bypassed, but you have a different, a replacement to the universal enveloping algebra. And as I might have mentioned several times, first of all, I don't fully understand what this means topologically. Somehow, this all makes sense at the level of topology, namely, this is ger of that, and then this is obviously agrees, okay? But this I never understood I could never turn this construction into something natural, okay? So that's one handicap, and the other handicap is that it's intrinsically, the moment you choose representations, it's intrinsically exponential time, okay? So you know, you should be aware of the existence of this, but you should also be aware of the limitations. Okay, as for going this route, well, this has its limitations too. Namely, constructing ZU, as I mentioned, depends on choosing an associator. Choosing an associator is completely impossible. Okay. However, okay, you can think that there might be, okay, so maybe it's impossible because you're trying to do something too strong. Namely, the space AU is huge, it's universal, it contains in it way too many not invariants. So you can think, okay, maybe I can mod out AU by additional relations, namely kill parts of AU. For example, you could choose a specific Lie algebra. I don't know, if instead of saying here, let's do something that works for all Lie algebras, you say, let's restrict our attention to SL2, and then there might be many relations in the kernel, and in fact there are many relations, so there are many core diagrams in AU which map to, which SL2 doesn't see, which map to zero under this tensor construction that I've defined. So there might be many different types of relations that you can mod out AU, that you can use to reduce AU. And so in fact I spent a huge amount of effort over a long period of time looking for relations that you could mod out by, so that what you get will become computable. And I failed. So now I don't think, okay, it wasn't total failures, there were partial successes. Also, by now, I know more and I have more techniques, so maybe now I would have failed a bit less, okay? But still, the experimental, or okay, also it might be that somebody smarter would not fail. But still, the experimental answer seems to be, it's still too hard. Okay. Now, one reason it is hard is exactly these associators. It's basically, a priori, you might think that you only need to define your invariance on things that have two strands on them, and that's relatively simple, or the target space is relatively simple. But instead, you learn that you have to look at parenthesized things, and then you have to put values to something which lives on three strands, and that's just too hard. That turns out too hard. So, I don't know if the solution, but a solution is to go to the V row, which is below, which is actually still hard, but simpler. So what's the V row? So the V row is sort of obtained from the U row by doing something ridiculously simple, namely by removing all the adjectives. So KV, instead of being the planar metamonoid, which you then have to modify again to make it parenthesized, it's simply the metamonoid generated by a crossing, and to be honest, I need to use over and under crossings. And you mod out by Rademeister 2 and 3, or maybe also Rademeister 1, and in fact there are also a few other minor choices that you can make. And maybe I'll mention them later. Okay? So this is schematic, and then there is small print, because there are a small number of variants that you can choose between. Okay? Now, but the only issue is, what does this mean? Okay? So what is it? So this actually stops being topological. In a sense, it becomes an algebraic thing. It's a certain algebra freely generated by some generators, modulo some relations, and the resulting things are not quite topological, but they're not too far from topological. So let me explain. So what's the metamonoid freely generated by the crossing symbol? Well, you have to take a number of crossings, and then you still have the metamonoid operations, so you can stitch. So you can stitch this to this, and I don't know what, this to this. But you see, I never said planar. I don't even have the information for things to be planar. I don't even have the information to declare that things should be planar. I never said only neighboring things can be stitched. So I can stitch this to this, and the result, okay, and in fact I can continue stitching things to other things. I guess let's not stitch the remaining, so this is a tangle with four ends.
You have a closed component.
I have a closed, oh right, that was not a forbidden stitching. I'm still allowing only stitching of a component to another one, so I never get closed components. I don't know. Stop me if I do something forbidden. Okay, I don't know, okay? So I get something like that. Now, in this something, the crossings are the things I'm circling now in yellow. These are the things that the generators I started from. Okay, these are the crossings. The remaining things, the remaining apparent crossings, these, one, two, three, I don't know, are not really there. There are only there are only combinatorial, or there are only artifacts of the fact that I'm trying to draw in the plane something that was never meant to be planar. In fact, that was never meant to be drawn. Okay, it was just an abstract thing, and I insisted on drawing it on the plane. And then so if you wish, it's an abstract graph. And since I'm insisting on drawing it on the plane, I'll get some planar crossings between the edges, but these are not vertices in the graph. Okay, so this is not a vertex. Okay? And then I mod out by relations, but the relations make sense. The relations are, the same relations as before. So this is equal to that, and what's Rademeister 3? This is equal to that. Okay? But these are relations between graphs. So if you have a graph with three vertices and certain stitch and certain edges connecting them, it's equal to another graph with three vertices with certain edges connecting them. And it's an abstract relation. It's drawn in the plane, but I don't mean it in the plane. So it's conceivable that these three crossings form abstractly the left-hand side of a Rademeister move. I mean, probably not, because I did it randomly. But it's conceivable that they do, and then I would be able to allow this move. Okay? So that's what a virtual knot is. So, or more precisely, a virtual tangle. It's simply the metamonoid abstractly defined by these, by a crossing modulo abstractly Rademeister 2 and 3. Okay? Now, if you want a more concrete version of it, or a more concrete way of viewing the same thing, you go to the way everybody else views it, which, you know, I love and hate at the same time. Okay? So, a different way to define the same thing. So this is more or less the same thing, and the distinction is only on how do you state allowing or not allowing closed components. It's not fundamental. So basically, it's the planar algebra generated by a crossing what other people call a virtual crossing. So some people put a circle around it to say that it's virtual. I think I prefer to just not. Basically, a crossing has an upper side and a lower side, a virtual crossing doesn't. So this is the so-called a virtual crossing. So for me, this is simply not a vertex. It's not a part of the diagram. Alternatively, you can make it a part of the diagram, but then you have to mod out by more relations. Okay? So maybe before telling you what are the further relations, I should say what I mean by a planar algebra. I think I said it at some point, did I? Or maybe I didn't. But planar algebra basically means all ways of drawing these things in the plane. So basically you get pictures like this, modulo more relations. And what are the relations? So the relations are the Rademeister 2 and 3 as expected. So basically this is equal to that. That's Rademeister 2, I believe. And Rademeister 3 is copied from the line above. Okay, same Rademeister 3. Then there are, and then you have to put a bunch of relations whose only purpose is to say that this isn't really there. Okay? So there are the virtual Rademeister 1, 2, and 3. So this is equal to that. So if you have a virtual crossing, it's not really there, so it's just that. And then virtual Rademeister 2. Again, these aren't, the vertices aren't there. So this is, and then virtual Rademeister 3. And finally, there is a mixed relation. So the mixed relation says that if you have an honest crossing, sorry, an honest crossing, and a line passes virtually below it, then you can switch to, sorry, to having it pass virtually above it. Again, these crossings are not there. So it doesn't matter if they are drawn below or drawn above. So I think I wrote all the relations. So this is the other way of viewing the same thing. So again, either as a set of graphs modulo some relations, or as a set of planar graphs modulo further relations, which says that the planar, that these vertices are irrelevant. Okay? Warning, and this is sort of an amusing piece of warning, there are also moves that you're not allowed to make. So this is not equal to that. And this is very, very, very confusing. Let me argue why they should be equal. Look.
It's not equal.
Not equal, right. Let me argue why they should be equal. Look, this vertex isn't even there. If it isn't even there, why should it matter if I pass below it or above it? And it gets everybody confused. People working on virtual knot theory are always confused by that. Okay? So
you're allowed to do it when you have virtual.
Right.
You're allowed to do it when there's like nothing and then more nothing.
Is not allowed.
Yeah.
But why? And because, you see, these two graphs are different from the perspective of the real crossings. From the perspective of the real crossings, so let's label the strands, okay? So first of all the strands are oriented always, and let's label them, so let's call this one Z, Z, and this one X, this one Y, this is X, this is Y, okay? So here, Z passes under Y and then under X. And here Z passes under X and then under Y. So these are complete, these are as abstract graphs made out of real crossings, these are different graphs. They're not equal. Okay? The virtual crossing here is only to confuse you. It's really not there, but they're different as graphs. Whereas these are the same as graphs made out of only real crossings. Because this whole line is, because these two crossings are not here, so. Right. So it's confusing, but that's why I called it a warning.
The same when it goes above. Right?
One? Yeah, so there is also a different, a second version of this, where you go above. Sorry. So in fact, there is this is first forbidden move and second forbidden move, but they're forbidden for the same reason. Okay, and then there is an amusing fact that well, but maybe I will. this is going too far aside, but and this is actually the last row in the picture that I gave you, but there is actually a four-dimensional topological interpretation of virtual knots, except it's not quite a four-dimensional topological interpretation of virtual knots. It's a four-dimensional topological interpretation of virtual knots modulo F1, but not modulo F2. No, modulo F2, but not modulo F1. Sorry. Okay. So, but that's a different story. There is also a topological interpretation of virtual knots, but it's sort of mixed, semi-useful. So, you can view these things as if they are not drawn on a Riemann surface. So, basically, well, if you draw a knot on a Riemann surface, somehow the virtual crossings become
become
Places where strands go on. Well, I could draw it, but you know, it's all to the side and it's not actually helpful. But there is an interpretation of virtual knots as not drawn on a Riemann surface, modulo an additional move, modulo some stabilization move. But again, it's actually not terribly useful. Okay. So let's sorry again, what's happening here? The title is Virtual Knots. Okay. So I told you what KV is, now I have to tell you what AV is. So AV is the associated graded of KV using the standard thing that you do, which is you allow formal linear combinations and you look at and you look at the ideal generated by those linear combinations that whose sum of coefficients is equal to zero, and then you look at powers of this ideal, and you look at, and that defines the filtration, and then you look at the associated graded. Okay? But what does it mean in practice? In practice, you know, maybe I'll work with by analogy. So, if you have a group, then you go to the group ring of the group, and inside it there is this ideal, and this ideal is the ideal of sum ai gi such that the sum of the coefficient is equal to zero. But there is a different way of writing this ideal. So it's easy to show that anything whose sum of coefficients is equal to zero can be written as, can be written as a sum of differences. So it's as a vector space even, it's the same vector space that is generated by things of the form G minus H, where G and H are elements of the group. And in fact, as an ideal, well, you can multiply this by H inverse, and then you'll get a new G minus 1. So as an ideal, it's just generated by things of the form G minus 1. Okay? And then the same thing works here. So inside here, there is an ideal, and it's the ideal generated by things of the form, furthermore, you can, by a little bit of group theoretic manipulation, should I write it? Yeah, why not? I mean, so GH minus 1 is equal to, what is GH minus 1? It's G times H minus 1 plus G minus 1. Right? A product minus 1 is it, I mean, just this you can verify, but what it says is that a product minus 1 is equal to something times the first element minus 1 plus the second element minus 1. Sorry, the other way around. Okay? But this really means that it's enough to take here generators, not just any element G, but X minus 1, where X runs over a generating set for the group. So similar thing, you can basically repeat these calculations in a more general algebraic structure, or repeat the same kind of thought in a more general algebraic structure, and you find that the augmentation ideal of this structure is generated by things of the form a generator minus nothing, minus the identity. So basically, it's generated by a crossing minus the nothing really means that you, the identity element, but I'll write it as a single virtual crossing, only so that the ends will be arranged in the same order. But what I really mean here is nothing, the empty graph. Okay? Again, I'm drawing it this way so that graphically it will match, so that it will be easier to replace this by that within a bigger graph. But this isn't a crossing. It still isn't a crossing. It's just a funny way of projecting to the plane the graph that has no crossings, that has no vertices. Okay, and I'm lying to you because there is actually an overcrossing and an undercrossing. So there is also the other generator is this minus that. Okay? And then powers of this ideal are, okay, sorry. You know what? Even before that, let's introduce a notation. So let me declare that I write this as people sometimes call a semi-virtual crossing. So this is, by definition, I write it this way, and this I write that way. So if I have a crossing with a circle on top, it really means the difference between having this crossing or not having this crossing. Okay? And then, what's I to the K? So, an element of I to the K will have K such things, and then God knows how many ordinary crossings. And also, God knows how many, maybe God knows, but God doesn't care how many virtual crossings there are, because these are not crossings. So basically, an element of I cubed would have three crossing, three virtual crossings. Sorry, three semi-virtual crossings like this. A number of extra crossings. And then these would be stitched together in any which way you want, provided it you never stitch a component to itself, and I'm possibly going to mess it up. Okay. So that's I to the K. Okay. Now, what's I to the K modulo I to the K plus 1? Now I'm trying to figure out what's the associated graded. So if you mod out by I to the K plus 1, then this crossing or that crossing is equal to not having it. Right? Because the different, well, that's the point. I mean, this already has K, in this case, three semi-virtuals, and I'm modding out by having another. A semi-virtual is the difference between this exists and this doesn't exist. So the difference between this exists and this doesn't exist is zero. So in I to the K, modulo I to the K plus 1, you can turn everything into virtual crossings. So you're only left with the semi-virtuals. But the semi-virtuals are just, you can think of them as cords connecting the components of this tangle. So they are chords as before, in this case three chords, connecting the components of this tangle, except I'm lying to you. And why am I lying to you? So before, when chords were over minus under, there was no distinguished side to the chord. But here, there is a distinguished side. Namely, every chord goes... So, if you're looking at a semi-virtual crossing, if you're looking at a crossing like this, it has two features in it. One feature is which strand is the over strand and which is the under. So I will indicate it by an arrow, and the arrow always goes from the over side to the under side. Okay? And the second feature is whether it's this or that. Namely, whether it's a overcrossing minus a nothing, or meaning a positive crossing minus a nothing, or a negative crossing minus a nothing. So in fact, each of these should also have a sign on it. No, this is a single arrow, so one sign. So really, okay, so you know, let's take another picture. And what should we call it? You know what? Let's keep this tile. So the conclusion is, okay. So KV is the metamonoid generated by crossings, and in fact there are two types of crossings, modulo Rademeister moves, and AV, so now I'm here, so AV turns out to be the space of arrow diagrams. So diagrams, instead of chords, they have arrows. I never said planar, so here is a legitimate arrow diagram. with signs. Modulo relations that are induced by the Rademeister relations. Okay? And these relations turns out to be two relations. So I'm neglecting the fact that there are variants. So then there are a few variants, and then there might be the relations might, there are also a few variants for that, what the relations are. But the basic fundamental thing is two basic relations. So whether you mod out by Rademeister 1 or not mod out by Rademeister 1 might add relations. But the fundamental relations are two. First of all, if you have an arrow with a plus sign, then it's the negative. No, if you have an arrow with a minus sign, then it's the negative of having the same arrow with a plus sign. That follows immediately from Rademeister 2. But this means that you can write every diagram like this as a diagram that has only plus signs on it. So by convention, we only write diagrams with plus signs on them, on them, and we don't write the signs. So from this point on, the diagrams are just arrow diagrams with no signs, but the signs are implicitly pluses. And if ever you need a minus, you just put the minus outside. Okay? And then there is the second relation, which is the 6T relation. And the 6T relation we actually already saw once, and it's the, we called it the quantum Young-Baxter equation. But in the world of arrow diagrams, it's the following relation. So it's this takes concentration. I think I got the signs right. The thing that take concentration is to get the signs right. This bracket plus this bracket plus this bracket is equal to zero. So basically, if you have three strands, maybe you should call them 1, 2, and 3, then an arrow from 1 to 2 bracket an arrow from 1 to 3. So what I mean by bracket is things as drawn minus things drawn in the opposite way plus things as drawn here minus things drawn in the opposite way plus things as drawn here minus things drawn the opposite way is equal to zero. So by the way, if I wanted to write it as a, if I wanted to call an arrow from 1 to 3, call this one R13. Then this will become the relation, the bracket of R12 with R13 plus the bracket of R12 with R23 plus the bracket of R13 with R23 is equal to zero, and this is what we called Chibe before. But now it, so before it was a relation between elements of tensor powers of algebras, and now it's a combinatorial relation between arrows. Okay? That fully defines AV. I just told you what AV is. It also tells you, it also suggests to you that given in R, so in other words, given an honest algebra and an element R in it satisfying Chibe, you get a map into some messy thing here. So now I have to be. Now I have to turn this into something more precise, and I'm running out of time, and I'm probably running out of how much you're following me. But now I'll even increase the level of sketchiness. So, you know. Okay, the key in this language, the key for defining this map was to switch from a core diagram picture to a trivalent graph picture. It turns out that this space also has, that AV also has a trivalent graph version. So AV is also has a description in terms of diagrams that have that are allowed to have trivalent vertices inside, except now everything has to be oriented. And again, there is small print. And the small print is, the most interesting bit of the small print is that all vertices are either 2 in, 1 out, or 1 in, 2 out. Okay, so not all vertices are allowed. And then there are relations. And, again, this has a literatic interpretation. So this can be interpreted as a map from G tensor G into G, and this can be interpreted as a map from G into G tensor G. The relations turns out saying that this map is a bracket, so it satisfies Jacobi, and you know, in a similar way to how, like, if you reverse the arrow in an algebra, you get a co-algebra. There is a way of reversing the arrows in the definition of a Lie algebra to get a Lie co-algebra. So the relations here also say that this map should be thought of as a co-bracket. And finally, there is one of the relations here, which I didn't even write, says that the two are compatible. So there is some compatibility condition which make the combination a so-called Lie bi-algebra. So then, whenever you find a Lie bi-algebra, you get a tensor map here. In exactly the same way as this was defined, but well, slightly different ingredients.
So for the arrow, it's just the dual
what?
Event. For just straight arrow?
Yeah, so the arrow is just the duality. Yeah, so in some sense it's even simpler because you don't need a metric.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's simpler. You don't need the metric, but on the other hand, you need
a co-bracket.
A bracket and a co-bracket. Okay? Now, right. Okay, it turns out that whereas this space didn't have computable quotients, this space is somehow richer and has computable quotients. And that was what the class was about. So one computable quotient one very simple-minded computable quotient is to say, let's multiply all such vertices by epsilon, all co-bracket vertices by epsilon, and declare that epsilon to the k plus 1 is equal to 0. So basically, you are restricting your attention to diagrams like this, in which there are at most k co-bracket vertices. So this is the k-co quotient. So at most k, and so this quotient didn't make sense. there was no such thing here, but here there is. By breaking the symmetry between the bracket and the co-bracket, you get new relations. Now, the zero quotient, Zhuji and I, Zhuzhana Dancho and I, studied extensively, and there is a series of papers about it, and it turns out to be, again, having four-dimensional interpretation related to the Alexander polynomial, computable in polynomial time, all sorts of good other things. And then the higher, and then the whole point of what I was trying to do was to extend it to k equals 1 instead of just 0. And furthermore, you can still find more mod out by more. Namely, you can not only say, let's set epsilon squared to be 0, but you can also say, let's set epsilon squared equal to 0 and work with SL2. So I should have told you how SL2 is a Lie algebra and not just a Lie algebra. But once you do that, you get the Lie algebras that we worked with, so G0 and G1. And I think I'll stop. I think the only reason I went through this sequence today was to relate, to sketch how like this, well, how gentle is related to brute, and the relation is via these new spaces that we, well, via KV and AV and a map given a Lie by algebra into some universal enveloping algebra, and then taking some quotients to go into the our specific universal enveloping algebra. So basically I've sketched how the remaining spaces connect. There is a huge amount that I still don't understand. One, you know, clearly it was a mistake to give this class. But in a year or two it will not be. So, okay, in a year or two, it will clarify. Okay, that's all. Let's stop. So.